Our message this morning, entitled Your Will, His Will, is based on a text that comes from Matthew 6, 9 through 10, where it says, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now, Christians everywhere pray to God, Thy will be done on earth. And yet somehow they think it's all about God, that it has nothing to do with them. The truth is that God's will being done on earth has everything to do with them. Growing in God is all about learning to do His will, to serve Him faithfully and fruitfully and willingly. Let me say that again. Growing in God is all about learning to do His will, to serve Him faithfully and fruitfully and willingly. Let's think about how that works. First of all, let's define terms. What is the will of God? Well, first of all, the will of God is His desire. It's His purpose, what God wants to accomplish. It's His plan, how God intends to accomplish that. In Romans chapter 12, verse 2, God's will is described as good, pleasing, and perfect. And it is just that. We need to remember that, that God's will is good. God's will is pleasing. We're going to find joy and peace in God's will. And God's will is perfect. Now, that's talking about what God's will is. How does that apply to you and me? How does God's will work out in our lives? Well, let's look at 1 Thessalonians 4:3. Because there, it teaches us that it's God's will that you be holy. That means that you be set apart by God for His purpose. There are examples in the Scripture of what it means to be holy. And I think back to the time when they built the tabernacle. You know, the tabernacle was the big tent that they carried around with them in the desert. God was very specific about how it was to be built and how they were to do things. And one of the things that they had to do, they had to make a special oil for anointing. And everything that was going to be used, every little part of the tabernacle, everything that was going to be used in the worship of God had to be anointed with that special oil, set apart for God's purpose. And you know what? When something wore out, they couldn't use it in the tabernacle anymore. You know what they did with it? They did nothing with it. They never used it for any other purpose. In fact, it was destroyed. Because it had been set apart for the service of God. It was never to be used for anything else. It was holy. Now, let me ask you the question. What does it mean when it says that it is God's will for you that you be holy? Does it not mean the same thing? It means that you have been set apart by God, for His use. You belong to Him. You're an implement of His service. And you're not to be used for any other purpose. That's what it means, to be holy. So just to read that verse, 1 Thessalonians 4:3, where it says that it's God's will that you be holy, there's a lot packed into that little verse. There's a lot to think about in that little verse right there. If you go on in Thessalonians to the next chapter, chapter 5, verses 16 and 18, there it says that it's God's will that you be joyful, and that you be prayerful, and that you be thankful. So those are things that God would have you do and be, kind of attitudes, right? That you be joyful and prayerful and thankful. In fact, it even says specifically, and this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. So that's God's will for you. If you think about the rest of God's Word, if you think about the Ten Commandments, the Ten Commandments are God's most explicit representation of His will for you. And if you look at what they say things like this. Make sure God has first place in your heart. That's the very first one. Make sure God has first place in your heart. You're not going to put anything in front of God. You're not going to put anything above God. God has got first place. It says, don't worship your own works. Don't make things with your hands and then worship those things. In fact, don't worship the things of the world. Number three, don't misuse the Lord's name. It's holy too. Remember the Sabbath day. Why? Because it's holy too. It's not like every other day. The Lord's day is a special day. And you need to think of it in that manner. If you begin to think of the Lord's day like you think of every other day, then you're not keeping it holy. And we should. I think we do. It says honor your father and your mother. It says don't murder. Don't commit adultery. That's telling you to be faithful. Don't steal. That's telling you to be honest. Don't lie about other people. Be truthful. Don't covet. Be satisfied. Those are simple rules for us to follow, right? And that's God's will for you. Laid out in a nice, clear, bullet-pointed list. God's will for you. You know, people go around and they go, I just don't know what God's will is for me. I just don't know what God wants me to do. Well, there you go. You got the list. Take it home. Hang it on the refrigerator. All right? That's what God wants you to do. Now, that's just a summary of what God wants for you and from you. That's pretty simple. I'm trying to keep it simple this morning. Not get into a whole lot of stuff, but that's keeping it pretty simple. But this is very important for you to remember. Your fleshly desires, your self-will, that's not what I just listed. I have in my notes, your fleshly desires and your self-will do not equal God's perfect will. That's not the same. In Isaiah 55, 8 and 9, God says this, and he's very explicit. He just comes right out and says it. He says, my thoughts are nothing like your thoughts. He says, and my ways are far beyond anything you could imagine. He says, for just as the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. You see, our will and the will of God are not the same. And so, if we are going to pray, if we are going to say that I want to do God's will, then something's got to change in me, doesn't it? I can't continue to do my will. I can't continue to just live out the desires of my flesh and pray that prayer. Those things are not compatible with each other. It's like trying to mix oil and water together. You can't do that. You can't want both, and you can't do both. So, if you're honestly going to pray, your will be done, you have to believe that God's will is superior, and then you have to act like you believe that. That God's will is superior. That's what you're praying. That's what that prayer says. So, praying your will be done is actually a matter of faith. It's trusting that the will of God is better. Now, the Scripture said that His will is perfect, right? And it's pleasing. But you know, we don't always think that, do we? We think, oh, I know that's what God says, but this is what I want to do. This would be better. You know, when you think that, you're always wrong. And God usually lets you know you're wrong. That's how we sort of step in it from time to time, isn't it? We say, oh, I know what God says. You know, I know what that preacher preaches. Sometimes he preaches to himself. But I think this is better. This will be better for me. Never is. Because God's will is perfect. God's will is pleasing. God's will is good. And those things that we put in its place, they're not. Any of those things. So, I highlighted this on my page here. If you don't trust God's will, then don't pray this prayer. Because this is a prayer for believers, right? This is a prayer for Christians to pray. This is a prayer for people who want God to be number one in their lives, who want to live their lives God's way. Well, ultimately, believing leads to doing, doesn't it? We do what we truly believe. And so, what was an act of faith becomes an act of service. It becomes an action. And that's why it says, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." It has something to do with the King, right? Has something to do with the King. If you're going to honestly pray to God, your kingdom come, then you know what you got to do? You have to be willing to get off the throne and let Christ be King in your life. That's how God responds to that prayer. Your kingdom come. He's got to be King. When He becomes King in your heart, when He becomes King in your home, when He becomes King in your life, when He becomes King in your church, God's kingdom is here. And He's responded to that prayer. So, you know, you got to remember that only one king can rule at a time. Only one king can rule. And so if you're going to sit on the throne in your heart, then Christ can't be there. So you got to get off. Listen to this. This is in John 14, verse 15. This is Jesus speaking. And He says, if you love me, you will obey what I command. There's going to be a natural consequence to really loving the Lord and claiming Him as Lord, claiming Him as King. If you love me, He said, you will obey what I command. You're going to do what I say. If. Doesn't make it automatic, does it? If you love me, you'll do what I say. Luke 6:46, Jesus says, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say?" That's like Jesus looking us right in the eye and saying, "Why do you ignore and disregard your King?" That's what He's saying. Why do you call me Lord? Why do you call me the Master? And then you don't do what I say. Why is that? It's because He isn't Lord. That's the answer to the question. He didn't answer the question. The people didn't answer the question, but that is the answer to the question. Because He's not Lord. He's just being called that. Jesus must be Lord in your life. So, you know, you ask yourself, well, okay, but why is this so important? Why is your kingdom come, your will be done, so important? You know, Jesus went to His disciples, and they said, "Teach us how to pray." And He says, "This is how you ought to pray." And He was talking about these very thoughts, these very ideas right here. In Romans chapter 8, Paul kind of addressed this idea of letting God be God. This is what it says. This is Romans chapter 8, verses 6 through 8. It says, "The mind of sinful man is death, but the mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. The sinful mind is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those controlled by the sinful nature cannot please God." Why is it so important? It's because until we get off the throne, until we put Christ on the throne, until we take God's will and put it above our will, in fact, until we reject our will in place of God's will, then our life is being lived in a way that is hostile to God. It kind of goes back to what I talked about a week or two ago about trying to be neutral, trying to find a neutral place. There's no neutral place in that verse, is there? In that passage. It talks about the life which is controlled by the flesh, the sinful nature. And it talks about the life that is controlled by the will of God. And they're in opposition to each other. There is a hostility between the two. They cannot coexist. And so, if we have in some way rejected the will of God, then what we have done is put ourselves in a position where we're opposing God Himself. That's a tough place to be. We don't want to be there. So, what's required in this situation is a change. There has to be a change. And God's not the one who's going to change. He wants to change us. He wants to change our hearts. And there's a biblical word for that. We don't talk about it a lot. We need to talk about it a lot more, probably. But that word is repentance. This prayer is about repentance. That's change. You can write that down as a definition if you want to. Repentance equals change. It's a particular kind of change. It's a change of heart. It's a change of direction. When we repent, we make a U-turn from going our way, following our will. We turn around and we go God's way and we follow His will. We let His will take over. All right? That's what repentance is. When Jesus calls us and says, come follow me, He's saying, you're not going to go your way anymore. You're going to follow me. That's the call. That's the heavenward call of Christ, is it not? To come, follow me. That's what the normal Christian life is all about. It's about leaving the old ways behind and taking the new way, which is God's way. All right? So, now listen to this statement because it's important. Repentance isn't something that's tacked on to the normal Christian life. It is the essence of the normal Christian life. Repentance is the natural partner of faith. If we trust God, we trust His will and purpose, then the natural thing for us to do is to walk according to it. Right? The natural thing for us to do is say, God, You're my King. I want Your will to become a reality in my life, in the place where I live. And you know, if you're going to be a Christ follower, if you're going to do what Jesus did, then you'll have to follow the will of the Father, because that's what Jesus did. In fact, He said, not my will, but yours be done. I want you to imagine no disobedience, no selfishness, no unfaithfulness, no dishonesty, no dishonor, no dissatisfaction. Can you imagine a life like that? If you just imagine that in someone else, take your thought back and imagine it in you. Because that's the will of God for you. I drew all of those words in some way or other from the Ten Commandments. That's God's will for you. That your life would have no disobedience, no selfishness, no unfaithfulness, no dishonesty, no dishonor, no dissatisfaction. Can you imagine a place where everybody believes that God is God and everybody acts like they believe it? Can you imagine what it would be like if everyone knew God's purpose for their lives and accepted that purpose and did everything in their life to fulfill that purpose? It'd be like heaven, wouldn't it? That would be like heaven. Let me go back and read this text to you. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. That means your name is holy. Your kingdom come. Your will be done where? On earth, as it is in heaven. You see, it's already like that in heaven, isn't it? The disobedient ones got booted out. That's the way it is in heaven. God's will is done. There's peace there now. And what we're praying is, God, we want it to be that way in our life now. That's what we're praying for. That's what we're asking for. You see, it can be like that where you live. Your home and your church can be like that. Even your nation can be like that. You don't have to wait. You know what's required? You know what we have to do to get us there? Have you forgotten already? The word is repent. We've got to repent. We've got to turn. We've got to change. You know, people always like to quote that passage that says, if my people who are called by my name. 2 Chronicles 7:14. That's what it's talking about. But see, that doesn't start with some people over there. It doesn't start with some people over there. It starts with us. Repentance begins where? In the house of the Lord. His people have to say, God, you're going to be God in our lives. We are going to live according to your word. We're going to live according to your will. And I'll tell you what. The world hasn't seen yet what it looks like when a whole church does that. You want to see the world turned right side up? You want to see your community turned right side up? You want to see your homes turned right side up? Then take all your agendas, take all your plans, and throw them out the window, leave them outside the sanctuary, and find the will of God. Begin to understand the will of God. And pray this prayer. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth right here, right now, today. Start with me, God. And see what happens. See what God does. You know, you don't have to wait till you die to let Christ rule in your heart. He is King. And He has called you to be part of His kingdom. You know what an honor that is? This is what Jesus said. You want to have these things happen in your life? You do what Jesus said. This is Mark 1, verse 15. The time has come. The kingdom of God is near. You could put in the word here. Repent and believe the good news. Repent and believe the good news. Jesus was a pretty good preacher, wouldn't you say? He got it right down to the simple thing. It only took him one sentence, not 20 minutes. The time has come. The kingdom of God is available to us. He says all you got to do is repent and believe. God, I just pray this morning that you would help us to see your kingdom. Lord, not in the abstract. We can already do that. Lord, I pray that you would take the scales from our eyes so that we might be able to see your kingdom in the here and now, so that we might be able to see your kingdom where we live and learn and work and play. In our lives, Lord, we want to see your kingdom. Lord, we want to acknowledge you as our King.
Help us to claim you, Lord, as the King of our hearts. Help us to get off the throne ourselves and to let you sit down, to guide our steps, to guide our thoughts, to guide our words, to guide our actions, Lord, as we live out our lives in this week ahead. Lord, I just pray that this would be such a powerful change of direction for each one of us, Lord, that we would wake up tomorrow seeing the world in a different way, seeing it through your eyes, Lord, that we might be your people. I pray this right now for all of us, Lord. For the sake of your kingdom, for the honor of your name, so that you would be acknowledged as the Lord of lords and the King of kings, so that it would become the natural and normal thing to follow you and to walk in your ways. Because, Lord, it's a good thing. It's a pleasing thing. Lord, it's what we need to do. Pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.